coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, October 10, 2024. We've got, 27 days? No, 25. I don't know how many days. We're very close to the 2024 election. And to those people out there, especially my Christian brethren who believe that it doesn't matter, two wings of the same bird. I get all of this, but I think it's our, I think we have a spiritual and moral obligation to cast our vote, because If what I think is going to happen happens, I think we have to be able to stand on Judgment Day and say, you know, we did everything in our power, everything available to us, regardless if it was a crap show. We did everything possible to avoid where we're at today. But when I say where we're at today, I'm talking about where we're headed. And that I truly believe is really kinetic warfare on the ground here in the United States. It's going to begin, I believe, obviously in the larger cities, with the Antifa BLM, kind of the communist fronts of the Antifa and BLM are communist front groups, basically. But that's where it's going to start, I believe. Then, of course, you're going to have the invaders. Just a chaotic situation. And then, of course, we're going to be having to fight the external forces. I believe that is coming. All of this in the wake of devastating, devastating storms in the southeast. Latest, of course, Milton. We're just surveying the damage now. This platform has been active in helping with Helene. And I've got to say, the amount of lying that has gone on with respect to these storms, specifically Helene, is beyond anything I've ever seen before. The one issue I am, speaking of the elections, and I've got a great show lined up for you. Oh, before I get any further on this, I should say this. We will be dark tomorrow. There won't be a show tomorrow. The reason is, as we change into a live format, we're going to have to do some things that are going to require us to be offline. And now, off air, that is, for the broadcasting. Eric's working, my goodness, 18 hours a day to get this done. So there's that. We're also continuing our investigation, of course, into what happened in Butler, the overlap with Florida, and I believe there's a common thread there. I don't think I'm speaking out of school when I say that the military-industrial complex is a common factor with both. And you might look at Crooks and say, how in the world? Seriously, you know, that little dweeb, well, a useful tool, useful idiot. Just like Walls, you know, the horse, never mind, just like Walls. A couple of things I want to get into right away, I think is extremely important. Let me just look at this here. Well, since I mentioned the hurricane, did you happen to catch yesterday the briefing with Biden, Harris, specifically Biden, talking about the Hurricane Milton and such, and of course his outrage over so many misinformation and disinformation. Notice these terms now are coming into play: misinformation and disinformation. This whole concept, just like fake news back in Obama, during Obama. Just like that phrase, this will be weaponized and people will be going to jail. I can tell you this right now. People like myself and others who speak the truth will be going to jail for misinformation and disinformation charges. I'm telling you, it's going to happen, much like the J6 protesters. All right? It's going to happen. But take a look at this. This is cut one. Go to HagmanPI.com. And folks, please, do me a favor. First of all, subscribe to us on Rumble. You can create an account and subscribe, follow, whatever. But that's very important, especially with the changes that we're doing with what's coming up in terms of us going live, as well as Brighteon. So subscribe to us on Rumble and Brighteon. And I thank you for doing so. I really appreciate it. And leave a comment, too, in the comment section. Feel free to chime in and say, man, you're off the reservation. Whatever you might want to say. But just go ahead and engage. I do read the comments. Sometimes I don't have a chance to read them like right away or respond to them very quickly, but I try to respond to most that have questions or serious comments. But anyway, check this out. This is cut one at HagmanPI.com under today's show notes. The latest federal Hurricane Milton briefing with Biden and Harris. This is just over a minute long, but I want you to pay attention to what is said here. This is really critical because I've got something else to show you that will negate everything you saw in the first video. Here's cut one.
But now I want to be clear about something. For the last few weeks, there's been a reckless, irresponsible, and relentless promotion of disinformation and outright lies that are disturbing people. It's undermining confidence in the incredible rescue and recovery work that has already been taken and will continue to be taken. And it's harmful to those who need help the most. There is simply no place for this to happen. Former President Trump has led the onslaught of lies. Assertions have been made that property is being confiscated. That's simply not true. They're saying people impacted by these storms will receive $750 in cash and no more. That's simply not true. They're saying the money is needed for this crisis is being diverted to migrants. What a ridiculous thing to say. It's not true. Now the claims are getting even more bizarre. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, a congresswoman from Georgia, is now saying the federal government is literally controlling the weather. We're controlling the weather. It's beyond ridiculous. It's got to stop. In moments like this, there are no red or blue states. There's one United States of America where neighbors are helping neighbors. Volunteers and first responders are risking everything, including their own lives, to help their fellow Americans.
All right,
state, local, and
look, folks, neighbors are helping neighbors. That's the only help that they're receiving. The fact is, FEMA is becoming an obstacle as opposed to any kind of assistance. But what you said about the weather control, don't take my word for it. Don't take Alex Jones' word for it. Let's go to cut two. This is CIA Director John Brennan. On June 29th, 2016, listen to what he's got to say. This is cut two. Go ahead.
Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly. As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community. On the technical side, greenhouse gas emission reductions would still have to accompany SAI to address other climate change effects, such as ocean acidification, because SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. On the geopolitical side, the technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations.
Okay.
Others might see.
So what's he talking about? It is the stratospheric aerosol injection, geoengineering. That's out of the horse's mouth. Well, it depends on which end you consider
him.
But
that stuff doesn't exist.
Of course not. You know, he was talking about this in 2016 as if this was just an idea, a concept, right? No. The patents, and you've all seen this, I'm sure, the patents have been in place for numerous years, which will, let's go right to the next cut. This is cut 2A. Sorry about that, Eric, the tech and numbering. This is Kennedy and Dane Wigington. Of course, many people. Now, Dane's been on the show several times, and he's a friend of the show, a friend of mine. And I believe
you have to have his website bookmarked.
Oh man, Geoengineering Watchdog. He's great, isn't he? I'm telling you, he knows exactly what he's talking about. Now, I'm going to leave the introduction in. Kenny does an introduction of him, just so the people who are not familiar with him know who he is. So listen to who he is, what he's accomplished. But listen to this brief exchange here, or this exchange. The entire clip is, I think, 12 minutes long, and this is from Kennedy's podcast. But pay attention to what is being said here. And I think the revelations are important in light of the damage caused by Helene and, of course, with what just happened with Milton. So go ahead, and this is cut 2A.
Most environmentalists today focus on climate. That issue has been captured, hijacked in many ways by the World Economic Forum and particularly by Bill Gates. They aggravate the problem and then sell us the solution. And of course, the solution that they want for climate is our more social controls, the big solution of geoengineering projects, which of course Bill Gates is funding all over the world. And today, I want to talk about geoengineering, and particularly as it's related to climate, because it is a threat that the environmental community needs to know about, and the rest of us need to know about. It is a threat that is probably as dangerous to us as climate change itself. And that's why I've invited today to talk to us Dane Wigington, who is the producer of the groundbreaking climate engineering documentary film, The Dimming. And Dane has a background in solar energy. He was a former employee of Bechtel and was a licensed contractor in California and Arizona. He's devoted the last 20 years of his life to in-depth research on the issue of covert global climate engineering operations and the effort to expose and to halt them. His personal residence was featured as a cover article in the world's largest renewable energy magazine, Home Power. He manages a wildlife preserve next to Lake Shasta in Northern California. Dana has appeared in numerous films and interviews in his effort to educate the public on the extremely dire environmental and health dangers that we face from the ongoing global climate intervention program.
Okay,
so welcome
to the second. Okay, Eric the Tech, you said his website is, and you can leave that up there. His website is a must bookmark, right? That was his website, and that was his introduction. That's who he is. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, wow. All right. Yep. Yeah. All right. Go ahead and continue with that.
The podcast, and I'm so glad that you could join me.
It's a pleasure and an honor, Robert. And your description is very accurate and on target. And the paradox, the irony here is that we have a global power structure that thinks they can counter the damage already done by human activity, anthropogenic activity, which is in a sense a form of geoengineering because we're altering the planet's life support systems. And they are trying to sell us doing even more intervention as a form of a cure, much like you described the pharmaceutical industrial complex mentality. And this is the climate engineering issue itself. What we would argue at geoengineeringwatch.org, that there can't be any legitimate discussion about climate or the state of the climate from any perspective without addressing this first and foremost. We would also argue that the state of the climate is even worse than we are being told, And climate engineering is further fueling that process, not mitigating it.
Okay, so let's start with one thing that a lot of people have heard about, and nobody really knows what to think about it, but chemtrails. Are chemtrails real? And you know, tell us about them.
Let's start with the appropriate place to start. What we're seeing in our skies are not condensation trails. In almost all cases, they are sprayed particulate trails, and we're not speculating. We have up-close film footage of military tankers and commercial nozzles visible, turning on and off. Geoengineeringwatch.org, as a part of the film, The Dimming, at great effort and expense, we acquired a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration flying lab, put top scientists in it, took samples at altitude behind heavy aircraft. We sampled what they were emitting. The sample was processed at one of the top testing institutions in the world. We found exactly what we knew we would find: climate engineering elements, starting with aluminum, which is named in one of the most significant climate engineering patents. And the climate engineers themselves have stated their goal of putting tens of millions of tons of aluminum nanoparticles into the atmosphere annually as part of solar radiation management to block some of the sun's incoming thermal energy with no consideration of the consequences whatsoever.
So, okay, you know, this is a classic conspiracy theory, right? Chemtrails. People who talk about chemtrails are, you know, are regarded as tinfoil hats. So tell us, you know, what proof do we have that chemtrails are happening, and, you know, who is doing it? Because you see, you know, I'm on a flight path coming into LAX, and I see commercial aircraft with contrails coming out of their tails. So, and that's not, those aren't chemtrails. Where are those, you know, I assume? Are chemtrails, are they putting the aluminum particulates in commercial aircraft, or is this all military aircraft or civilian contractors? And, you know, what kind of evidence do we have that it's going on?
Unless you're seeing a plane landing with perhaps a wing vortex, which is certainly a benign phenomenon, or a fuel dump, if you're seeing an aircraft emitting a trail at altitude, even a commercial aircraft, the chances are almost certain that that is a sprayed dispersion or a fuel additive happening in that aircraft, which is also part of climate engineering operations. Again, we have up-close film footage of these aircraft, including commercial, turning on and off at altitude. That means that cannot be a condensation trail. These are up-close images, KC-10s, KC-135, C-17 Globemasters, and commercial aircraft. We have extremely up-close photographic images of the retrofit nozzles mounted on the wing pylons of commercial aircraft aimed into the exhaust jet stream. We are not implicating commercial pilots. We are not implicating commercial personnel. They are not involved to our knowledge, but their aircraft, in many cases, are being used. If you remember when the big luggage situation came into play in the airlines around 2002, and suddenly it was a big concern how much luggage you carried on, how much weight there was, and so forth. And that is about the period in time when we feel the commercial industry was utilized more heavily for much lighter payloads than a military plane can carry. And certainly these are automated systems. So again, we're not implicating commercial pilots or personnel, although we are working with some that behind the scenes are leaving geoengineeringwatch.org printed materials covertly in pilot lunchrooms and so forth. But again, as far as this not being condensation, let's look at another factor. All military tankers and all commercial aircraft are fitted with what's known as a high bypass turbofan jet engine. That's a jet-powered fan. 80% of the air that moves through that engine is not combusted. That engine by design is nearly incapable of producing any condensation trail except under rare and extreme circumstances. And beyond all this, I would ask people to believe what they see with their own eyes. When you see an aircraft leaving a trail clear across the horizon that suddenly shuts off and it leaves nothing on the rest of its journey, or you see grid patterns in the sky one day and nothing the next with similar atmospheric patterns, of course something is clearly wrong. And we see loops and aircraft making large configurations in X's and so forth that we believe is to mark the air current movement. But high bypass turbofan jet engine.
Okay, you can cut that. Folks, I would urge everyone to download that. Like, watch the entire clip, download it, and save it. And pass it to your friends, too. It's going to be in the, again, the program show notes. HagmanPI.com for today's episode. You got to go to HagmanPI.com to get that. So what we're seeing here, and the Orwellian phrase, I'm not even sure I can paraphrase it, but essentially George Orwell in his book, 1984, we have achieved a success when people will not, or when we tell people something and not to believe their own eyes. I just really, really screwed that phrase or that.
A scholar.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. But I'll tell you what, you've got to understand this is happening. Now, what's the motive? Obviously, who's doing it? You heard who's doing it. The Gates, the WEF people, you know, that 1%. They know this is going on and they're doing it, but for what purpose? Why would anyone cause a hurricane, the destruction that we saw with Helene in Milton now? Why? Well, because they hate you. They hate us. They want to destroy us. And also, I would dare say, you know, with the red state, although despite Biden's assurances, there's no red and blue in these events. Yeah, there is. Let's go to clip one more time here. Again, this is just over a minute, but let's hear again what Biden said after you heard what Kennedy and Wigginton said and also what Brennan said. Let's go back to cut one.
Federal officials are standing side by side. Let me repeat, no one should make the American people question whether their governments will be making sure that this disaster when it strikes, they'll be there. We will, all of us. I'm going to turn it over to Vice President Harris.
Oh, that was at the end of what you...
Thank you.
Now, go back to the very beginning of that 258 mark, if you can get it to that point. Sorry about that.
Your job is done. But now I want to be clear about something. For the last few weeks, there's been a reckless, irresponsible, and relentless promotion of disinformation and outright lies that are disturbing people. It's undermining confidence in the incredible rescue and recovery work that has already been taken and will continue to be taken. And it's harmful to those who need help the most. There is simply no place for this to happen. Former President Trump has led the onslaught of lies. Assertions have been made that property is being confiscated. That's simply not true. They're saying people impacted by these storms will receive $750 in cash and no more. That's simply not true. They're saying the money is needed for this crisis is being diverted to migrants. What a ridiculous thing to say. It's not true. Now the claims are getting even more bizarre. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, a congresswoman of Georgia, is now saying the federal government is literally controlling the weather. We're controlling the weather. It's beyond ridiculous.
Okay. It's got there you to go. Stop. Beyond ridiculous, right? You, in light of what we just said, boy, that's a great still of him, isn't it? folks listening to this by way of audio podcast, you got to watch some of these clips. Even if you just watch the clips, they're worth it. My goodness, but I'm telling you right now, everything that came out of that man's mouth was a lie. You've got to understand, we are being lied to by these people, by these Muppets, by these elite who hate you and hate us. Collectively, if we want to, in fact, let me show you how much these people hate us. This is cut five. I don't know how many people have seen this. This is a University of Kansas professor saying what he thinks about men who think mattress back, knee pad, commie, cami isn't smart enough to be president. This is cut five. In his own words. This is what they think of you. Listen to this.
Guys are smarter than girls. You got some serious problems. That's what frustrates me. There are going to be some males in our society that will refuse to vote for a potential female president because they don't think females are smart enough to be president. We could line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works. Did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the deans hearing that I said that.
Well, he said it. Obviously,
in a university.
Yeah,
that would never be said there.
You know, what do you say about that? How can you defend that? Eric the Tech, any help with this? I mean, again, they hate us.
Try to line us up. See what happens.
Go for it, fat boy. Okay? Hey, fat boy. You can't even walk that stage, that little part of the stage, without getting winded. And you want to line us up and shoot us? Do we know who that punk is? I'm going to find out who that punk is. Let's make him famous. Piece of crap. But don't worry. Here's what he's defending. This is cut three. Here's what he's defending. While people in Tennessee, Eastern Tennessee, Western North Carolina, you've got to know geography, by the way, and now Florida, parts of Florida, Georgia from Helene, Florida from both Helene and Milton. Well, they're trying to survive. They're hanging on their roofs, staying on the roofs for days on end, or in their homes. Do you realize how many people committed suicide waiting for help? Did you hear that? Did we talk about that, Eric the Tech? Does that ring a bell?
Well, when you got nothing left.
These people hate us. They hate you. And I'm telling you right now, you cannot hate these people enough. Because while this is happening, and you have these stupid photo pictures of communist Kamala sitting on an airplane with blank pages in front of her, blank pages, pretending to work, and an iPhone with an antiquated earpiece in. That's not even plugged into the phone. With the idea that she's out there helping people. I'll tell you what helping people means. It means getting your getting on your boots and going out there and rescuing people. Making sure that people are further safe. They're not waiting 7 to 10 days for help to come. As an aside, I just want to mention this. Revolver.news has got a great, I think it was a 27-minute, about a half-hour video of a couple in Asheville. If you want to, I don't have it. It's not going to be in the show notes. I don't have it. You can find it at revolver.news. It's buried in the story. You've got to watch that 30 minutes. It's kind of like a mini documentary. A couple arrived in Nashville, same time, roughly the storm did. Wasn't expecting the rapid nature of the storm and all of this. It was just an unbelievable hour by hour or day by day docudrama, if you will, of what they went through. And I, when I watched, I just couldn't believe it. I was captivated by this. But it made me think, and it should make you think as well, what each of us would go through. Because, I mean, it was grit real. It'll give you a totally new perspective on what happened and what could potentially happen to any one of us for any kind of disaster. It was raw. It was one of the best 30 minutes I've spent watching that. In fact, I watched it twice. And Eric the Tech, for homework, I'm going to have to assign it to you to watch. You know, like you don't have anything else to do. But I know people are busy, but I'll tell you what, it was really riveting and really tells you. There are a lot of lessons within that 30 minutes. And that's at revolver.news. I'm not sure of the title. I'll get that later for you. But meanwhile, while people are dying and they're hopeless, and FEMA is blocking. Yes, they are blocking the aid, the private aid. Hey, that's not FEMA approved. You can't do that. I tell you, my guy said, I think I don't, a couple of days ago, it's all blurs together. There was a FEMA agent preventing a delivery, a rescue. Rescue delivery, I suppose. I don't know how to describe it, to a house. And this FEMA aide came up and said, look, if you do this, if you try to deliver this, I'm going to have you arrested. Seriously. This was the day before yesterday, I think. Yesterday I was talking to him. And he said, F you, arrest me. What are you going to do? Have me arrested. And took off. Of course, that was the last time that he saw a FEMA agent. These people don't let them tell you what to do. They have no authority, especially if they're preventing help. Anyway, and without them, by the way, and thank you so much for supporting b1church.com. I believe it is. Thank you for supporting them, because 100% of what you give goes to expenses. Before I get to the next clip, I just want to take a brief break here and tell you about sculptnation.com/Hagman. Testosterone. You got to have it now, man. I'm telling you, guys, you better have testosterone. And most guys think that testosterone is being drained by aging and bad genetics or whatever, maybe even lack of exercise. But what if I told you that wasn't the case? In fact, the real culprit is something you're likely eating every day. And here's the shocking part. It's something that you've always been told is healthy. This one food has been scientifically shown to devastate testosterone levels, and most men have no idea. And no, it's not junk food. It's not sugar. It's something way more unexpected. And just eating it a few times a week is enough to wreck your testosterone, drain your energy, and crush your motivation. But here's the good news. If you cut this one thing out of your diet completely, by doing so, could completely transform the way you feel. Now, our friends at V-Shred have seen it firsthand with their clients, and guys who stopped eating it are building muscle, burning fat, feeling more energized than they have in years. It's truly incredible how quickly things can change once you know what to avoid. And V-Shred, the team behind cutting-edge fitness and nutrition strategies, has created the video you're seeing on your screen, has created a video that reveals exactly what this testosterone-killing food is and why removing it from your diet could be the key to unlocking your body's true potential. I'm telling you, this works. You've got to watch the video. If you want to know what this food is, head over to sculptnation.com/Hagman. Hagman has two N's on it. sculptnation.com/Hagman, or click the video link in the description box below. V-Shred's expert, they break it all down for you, and this one simple change could make all the difference. Trust me, this is one thing that you do not want to miss. sculptnation.com/Hagman. Just rumble Brighty on. Look for that in the program description box. Click the link and watch. You're gonna be glad you did. You'll thank me later. But this is, again, going back to what I was saying, this is how bad they hate us. While people are dying, and while these fake photo ops are out there, and while we're being told not to believe our own eyes, or don't listen to real accounts from the ground, here's what, you know, the guy that said, if you don't believe, call me Kamala, is smart enough to be president. You know, it should be lined up and shot. Those of us, we should be lined up and shot. Here's what Here's what she was doing while other people were out rescuing other people. She wasn't even on deck to direct efforts. And you might say, well, that's not her role. Yeah, it is. As a vice president, most certainly, she has a role in protecting the U.S. citizens, property, safety. But here's what she was doing instead. This is cut three.
Hey, everybody, we're back with Vice President Kamala Harris. You know, at first, when you first became the nominee and named Tim Walz as your vice president nominee, people were calling it the vibe election. Everybody, all the vibes were all good. But elections, I think, are won on vibes, because one of the old saws is they just want somebody they can have a beer with.
Uh-huh.
So would you like to have a beer with me so I can tell people what that's like? Okay. Now, we asked ahead of time, because I can't just be giving a drink to the vice president of the United States without asking. You asked for Miller High Life. You asked for Miller High Life. I'm just curious.
Okay, the last time I had beer was at a baseball game with Doug. So,
okay, so cheers.
Okay,
there
cheers.
You there you go. Ooh. That
yep.
tastes like the beautiful city of Milwaukee,
the
Wisconsin.
Champagne and beers.
There you go. So that covers Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's do Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Let's do Pennsylvania. Eagles or Steelers, and no one will be mad. Just choose one of those. I'm sure it'll be fine.
49ers.
Just cut it. It makes me sick just to even watch it. But that's what they think of you. That's what they think of you.
You had a drink with her at the baseball game?
I did. Yeah, I can confirm. Yeah.
Her and Doug.
Yeah. The old Celtic name, Douglas, I'm ashamed now. Emhoff. The wife beating, nanny impregnating, Doug Emhoff. I shouldn't say wife beating. It was a... I think a girlfriend who he roughed up. And then, of course, impregnated his own nanny. Yeah. Great people, huh? Well, speaking of great people, and also what we're up against, it was this morning, early this morning, I think it was on Frank Gaffney's show, Unreal America's Voice, Sam Faddis was on with a guest host talking about a couple of things. The clip is titled Sam Faddis on Tim Walz, his connections to the CCP. They're terrifying. There are two cuts in this episode, in this program, two specific pieces that you've got to see. And I did the cutting for you so you can watch them, and I'll put the time markers at HagmanPI.com. Let's go to cut 7, clip 1. This begins about 3 minutes, 15 seconds into the interview. And this is about Tim Walz. Here it is.
Well, look, to summarize Walz's background, his connections to the Chinese Communist Party are terrifying. And again, as everybody in this program knows, we're not, you know, when we're opposing the Chinese Communist Party, it doesn't have anything to do with opposing the Chinese people. They're the ones that suffer first at the hands of the CCP. But the CCP is a monstrous, totalitarian, thuggish organization. And this guy, Walz, has been up to his eyeballs in direct contact with the CCP for a very long time. By his own count, he's made something like 30 trips to Communist China, taking along groups of American students to show them the wonders of Communist China. According to the information that's coming out now from the committee investigating this, the CCP paid for that. So that means this guy has been in business with the CCP for many years to take Americans to Communist China and then convince them of the wonders, in his view, of the CCP. He describes communism as everybody's the same, everybody shares, it's neighborliness, right? That's his description of a system that has forced organ harvesting, slave labor camps, outlaws free speech, and hunts down dissidents across the world. That's neighborliness. This guy has funneled money to the Hormel Institute in Minnesota. Okay, well, they're lashed up with the Wuhan lab. Yeah, that Wuhan lab. the point of origin of COVID. These guys at Hormel Institute are in partnership with them, and Walls is funneling money to them. On down a list of other entities, all associated with the United Front, which is the CCP's program to effectively manipulate and control, take control of other countries. So the best you could say about him is he's a completely useful idiot for the CCP. Even that, I think, quite frankly, is a stretch to think that after all of these years and all of this money, he doesn't understand what he's doing. I think he picked a side a long time ago, and it was Beijing.
Indeed. And also, Sam, you pointed out in your piece the Chinese People's Association for Friendship with Foreign Countries, right, which is a front organization. It's an influence group directly funded by the CCP.
Yes.
Waltz, the ties of the Hormel Institute, and then even as late as 2007, right, he was a fellow at the Macau Polytechnic University, which is part of the Belt and Road Initiative. Launched by the Chinese Communist Party, and thus that's another influence operation. So there seem to be enough data points, Sam. I think it's quite clear. You can run a through line here, and we can see that he's taking students to China where MSS can pitch him, right, Sam?
Yep.
That's your former employer and others. It's on their territory, MSS could pitch American students. We should think of that as another influence operation in addition to the Hormel Institute, its ties to Wuhan. It's really sordid, Sam. And I think it's the fact that, as you said, a useful idiot, I think it's indeed, as you suggested and as you concluded, it's far worse than that. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, I think you're bending over backwards to attempt to conclude that this guy somehow is up to his eyeballs in all these contacts and all this money, but he doesn't understand what's going on. I mean, come on, if I was still working and I was looking at this, I would be saying, you know, turn on every alert we've got, start the red lights flashing. This guy was bought and paid for a long time ago by the CCP, and now he wants to be standing one heartbeat away from control of the United States government. I mean, come on, this is I would say ludicrous, but ludicrous diminishes it. It's terrifying.
You know, I was thinking about this. I could not sleep last night, so I ended up watching the original Manchurian Candidate. I don't know how many people have watched that film. The original one done in, I think, 63. In fact, I think they held that up because of the assassination of JFK. I'm not sure if that was the one that they held up, but the original Manchurian Candidate was a fantastic movie. So like from 3 to 5 this morning, that's what I was doing. It was watching that, decompressing. And it made me think of Walls. And I'm thinking, you know, a lot of people will say, well, Kamala was going to pick Shapiro to carry Pennsylvania, but instead had this bizarre pick of Walls. Why him? Well, what better way to put a communist Chinese asset into the executive branch, into the White House, than that? Aside from his horse spooge drinking to having to have his stomach pumped, allegedly. Aside from that, aside from him being weird, remember that talking point? Of course, attributed to people on the right, specifically J.D. Vance. This is a true threat to our American, our way of life. Walls is a threat. He might be a knucklehead, as he describes himself, but I'll tell you what, I think one of the few people who believes that Walls was installed in that VP selection by design and not by, oh, well, we can't take Shapiro. He's Jewish and we'd lose the the anti-Israel, for lack of a better term, phrase, whatever, vote. No, no, no. No, I believe this was made at the highest levels of the smoky rooms in the bowels of the 1%. I really believe that. Oh, and who are the 1%? Here's cut two of the same interview. Now, you have to understand, I met Sam Faddis. It was in D.C. And this is quite a few years ago. I don't think he would... I mean, our meeting was brief, and it was in passing, more or less. I don't believe that he would remember me. But he made an impression on me, a really good impression, that the guy knows what he's talking about. He really knows. Well, he was, well, still, in my view, still is with the CIA, good, bad, or indifferent. I do think he is a pipeline of information. But listen to him describe who we are up against, who we really are up against in all of this. This is cut B of video 7, or cut 7 of the same interview. Here it is.
Sam, you also wrote a great piece on the implications of Hurricane Helene in Western North Carolina in particular, and the fact that, as you put it, it's folks have got to realize that the U.S. government's run by folks who despise their fellow citizens. Could you talk us through that piece as well?
Yeah, well, I think folks that are following the aftermath of Helene are familiar with the fact that people out there who have been abandoned by the federal government are saying repeatedly, in effect, that they don't care about us. They're not doing anything for us. They're not supporting us. They're not doing their job. And the point of the article was to say, it's not your imagination. Rasmussen just did a really, really thorough survey where they looked at the attitudes of what they call the elite 1%, which and how that mirrors or dovetails with the attitudes of government managers. So these government managers, senior people in the federal service, really largely identify with this 1%. So what does that boil down to? And the results, quite frankly, are shocking. I mean, it's one of those things where you sort of knew this instinctively in advance, but then when you actually see the data, it still kind of blows your mind. I mean, you know, you can go to the article and see all the breakdown of the stats, and then of course go to the original survey, but you're talking attitudes where 70-80% of these people think there should not be private ownership of firearms. In other words, there should not be a Second Amendment. 70% of them think you shouldn't be allowed to vote unless you have a college degree. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 70-80% want to ban gas stoves, want to ban gas-powered vehicles. I mean, all these attitudes that in the average amongst the populace are regarded as crazy, quite frankly, really extreme viewpoints not to be taken seriously, you find, good Lord, these people who are running your government actually believe this. And then you get down to like their attitudes on, do you have the power to, should you go ahead and issue a regulation even when the vast majority of the American people disapprove? In other words, should you order the American people to do something they don't want to do and don't think you should do? And overwhelmingly, the attitude is, yeah, what's the problem? So you realize that, no, these people... The term public servant is an anachronism. They don't regard themselves as public servants, and they don't share your attitudes, and they don't care because they believe they are superior. And your job is to shut up and sit down and do what you're told. That's what it comes down to.
There it is. And President Trump, when he was in office, who did he go after? He went after the SES, the permanent bureaucracy. And that's what really got him in. I mean, he could not even remotely complete that task. But if you go back and look at his 4 years, that's one thing that he was very adamant about, is getting those people out of government. And that's, I have a feeling, coming back in, he's going to double down on those efforts, which is why they, the communist left, cannot allow him to come in. Which is why you have professors like the University of Kansas professor saying men who don't, essentially, who don't support Kamala Harris should be lined up and shot. So you've got the government infiltrated and co-opted and complicit, obviously. You've got academia, as we showed you, co-opted, complicit. Perhaps even most importantly, you have the media. Do we call this election interference? We played this yesterday, but it's worthy again to show you this today. This was played yesterday, but you know, maybe in the entirety of the show it got lost. Pay attention to this. This is 60 Minutes CBS outright lying, editing an interview of mattress back, knee pads, commie Kamala, editing an answer to a question. This is beyond anything that we've ever seen, I think, in our lifetimes. This is unforgivable. And I think that the people involved in this should be arrested and charged with election interference and maybe more charges. You want to know misinformation and disinformation. This is disinformation, the very definition of it. I'm going to play this again. This will be video 8. I'll put the link again in today's episode notes. I'm very serious. You've got to watch this and spread this on social media because they're taking this down faster than it stays up. Here it is.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We're not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
But it seems that...
Did you get that? Folks, did you get that? The first was the unedited answer, which was just a word salad. The second was the edited answer, which was just slightly maybe better than the first. I don't know if the answer is as important as the fact that this was done. And this was done without notation, without saying, hey, this was done, I believe, in an effort, obviously, to assist communist Kamala Harris, to assist the left, to fool the people. This was done maliciously. The entire thing was disingenuous. Yet the left, the communist left, are going to jail people like me. They've been trying to jail Alex Jones. They jailed Owen Schroyer. Folks, this is serious. To enforce this, I want you to listen to this and see this. A Department of Defense directive has been expanded last month. Expanded last month to allow the military in domestic situations to use lethal force on command. Think about that. The U.S. military last month is now allowed to use lethal force against American citizens. This is cut six. Well, we're only going to have time for just a couple of minutes of this, but watch the entire clip. Here it is, cut six.
A DOD directive expands domestic military authority to now include lethal force. Check this out. The scenario Alex Jones has long warned about may now be coming to fruition. In this original article, Sean Miller reports that the Department of Defense, formerly the Department of War, Directive 5240.01, which came into effect September 27th, expanded the authority of the military to assist in domestic law enforcement activities and exercise the use of lethal force. New provisions within the directive expands the circumstances under which the DOG can now assist in law enforcement. According to the use of lethal force, although assassinations are forbidden, GreenMed Info reported that 2016 version of the directive did not mention lethal force, but rather centered around intelligence gathering. Page 13 of the directive discussed the levels of authority necessary for various domestic military activities. Defense intelligence components may provide personnel to assist a federal department or agency, including a federal law enforcement agency, or state or local enforcement agency when lives are in danger. In response to a request for such assistance, in accordance with the following approval authorities, the directive said on page 13. Now, page 13 went on to discuss various activities, including the use of lethal force, which must have Secretary of Defense approval. You can see the full document there. You see right there in clause C, I'll have to look over on my screen here to read the small print. Assistance in responding with the assets with potential for lethality or any situation in which is reasonably foreseeable that providing the requested assistance may involve the use or force that is likely to result in lethal force, including death or serious bodily injury. It also includes all support to civilian law enforcement officials in situations where a confrontation between civilian law enforcement and civilian individuals or groups is reasonably anticipated. Such use of force must be in accordance with DOD 5210.56, potentially as further restricted based on the specifics of the requested support. Now, for decades, Alex Jones has been exposing domestic martial law drills and military activities revolving around domestic takeovers. It's absolutely vital that you check this out. Watch.
Hebron, Maryland, September 3rd, 1998. That was last month. I called and checked into it and verified it. Was shocked, but not really shocked, because I'd had Ali Philippus, police chief in San Antonio, throw up the Delta Force for attempting to bribe him. I've played that around 26 times here on Access TV. I better play it in the future.
Okay, you can cut that.
They tried to bribe.
The important part you heard at the beginning, the entire clip is very rich in detail, and I think that people really need to understand the lateness of the hour where we're at here. I know this goes back to the 1990s. I know it goes back before that. But the ratcheting up of the orders, of the allowances, of all of this right now. Why now? Because in the communist left eyes, it's all or nothing now. They've got to win. They've got to retain power. They cannot afford another power interruption like what happened in 2016. They cannot afford that. But that's what's going to happen. At least all of the polling indicates that. I mentioned earlier the Manchurian candidate makes me think of Russ Dizdar's book, The Black Awakening, and the MK Ultra program, Assassin. Look folks, these things are real. They're as real as geoengineering. They're as real as the Department of Defense allowing the firing of, or the U.S. military to fire, use lethal force against American citizens. All of this is real, and it's right now. We need to prepare. I'm talking about spiritual as well as practical, but especially spiritual. And if you are a Christian listening to the sound of my voice anywhere, and you have not, or if you don't plan to vote, I urge you, I beg of you to reconsider to vote. It's the most important last thing we can do. Understand what I'm saying? It's the most important last thing we can do. I want to thank you folks for your support and your belief and trust in this platform. May God bless you. And until next week.